My guest at this time is best-selling author and documentary filmmaker Dinesh D'Souza. He is the author of the brand new book, The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. For the next several minutes, we'll discuss what he means by that and also some of the reaction and competing arguments he's getting in response to that. And Dinesh, it's great to have you with us. Thanks for your time today.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Good to be on the show.
Well, in debate among political circles, there's what's known as Godwin's Law. I'm sure you've heard of it. And that basically means that the first person to compare their opponent to Hitler is kind of out of ammunition for their argument. But you're not comparing a specific person to Nazism necessarily, but the American political left having some roots in Nazism, at least the modern day American political left. So why? Why do you make that connection?
Well, here's the thing. It is true that the use of the word Nazi or the Hitler comparison has been absurdly misused. And it's partly because people don't really know what those terms even mean. I mean, I've lived in California now for many years, and literally people will talk about being something like a health Nazi or a food Nazi or a surf Nazi. And what they mean by that is that Nazism kind of denotes commitment. So there's a sort of loss of understanding of what Nazism as an ideology actually means. Now, what I'm saying is that, you know, since Trump's election, we've heard ad nauseum that Trump is a fascist, the Republicans are the neo-Nazi party, and the underlying idea here is that fascism and Nazism are phenomena of the right, that they're somehow right-wing. And this goes way beyond Trump. This has been argued by progressives really ever since World War II. And I'm showing that this is actually the big lie. It isn't just that Trump is not a fascist, but it's much deeper than that. Fascism and Nazism have always been on the left. Mussolini was a lifelong socialist. He was the most famous Marxist in Italy when he created the fascist party and became the first leader of a fascist regime. Hitler's party, of course, was called National Socialism. And Hitler changed the name of the German Workers' Party to reflect that. So these guys were firmly on the left. They were seen by their critics as on the left. And it's only after World War II that the big lie set in and fascism was somehow cunningly moved into the right-wing column so it could be promiscuously used against Republicans and conservatives.
Well, let's talk about what you mean a little bit deeper, because when people think of Nazis, they think of territorial conquest and genocide. So to what extent, if at all, do you compare the American left to that, or are there other principles that you're referring to here more specifically?
Well, certainly the history of the Democratic Party, a number of the terms we associate with Nazism, take genocide, for example. Hitler himself admired the extermination of the American Indians by the Jacksonian Democrats in the 19th century. So in a sense, what Hitler is saying is that the Democrats did the first genocide. I'm going to do sort of the second one. Second of all, the deep history of racism that characterized the Nazi regime. Of course, in the Nazi case, it was anti-Semitism, but it mirrors the deep history of racism of the Democratic Party. In fact, you can think of it this way. Nazi racism lasted only 12 years, from 1933 to 1945, whereas the Democratic Party's deep history of racism is for well over a century, from the 1820s all the way to the 1960s. So I draw out these historical connections, and then I even show that Hitler got some of his own specific genocidal schemes from the American progressives and from the Democratic Party.
We're talking with Dinesh D'Souza. The book is The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. And Dinesh, the response I've seen from your critics in response to this book is similar to what I saw when your documentary Hillary's America came out, and the book, of course, that came along with that. And that's that Dinesh D'Souza focuses on the old history of the Democratic Party, the part before the Civil War, antebellum era, where it was pro-slavery, and then the ugly Jim Crow era. But for the past 50 to 55 years, we've been the party, the Democrats say, of racial empowerment for the minorities and the poor, and it's the Republicans that have picked up the ugly mantle. So when you hear that you keep talking about the old Democratic Party and not that's not what the new Democratic Party is about, what do you say?
So let's look at the fascism in the Democratic Party right now. First of all, the Democrats today remain the party of the centralized state. When Obama and Hillary and Bernie Sanders talk about increasing government control over all these sectors of the economy, this is actually classically fascist. It's not even really socialist, because in socialist countries, the government nationalizes an industry. But we still have private hospitals. We have private health insurance companies. It's just that the government tells them what to do. So this notion of state-directed capitalism, this is the essential economic meaning of fascism. Now look at these Antifa or anti-fascist thugs on the street and on the campus. They wear masks. They cover their heads. They carry bike locks and baseball bats as weapons. They threaten, they intimidate, they use violence. These are the exact equivalent of Mussolini's black shirts of the 20s or Hitler's brown shirts of the 30s, with the only difference that the old fascists call themselves fascists, whereas the new fascists call themselves anti-fascists.
Yeah, the argument that they're fighting fascism by using these tactics, what sort of historical precedent is there for that?
Well, what's happened is, see, remember that after World War II, fascism became completely morally discredited. It was associated with Holocaust, with Auschwitz and Dachau. And so anti-fascism, in a sense, became the only morally reputable way to go. So the left realized that. And so when the moment they realized that, the progressives who are coming to power in academia and the media, they covered up the long, cozy relationship between the Democratic Party and the left on the one hand, and the fascists and the Nazis on the other. They put that under the rug, and then they basically said, from now on, we're going to be the anti-fascists. We're still going to believe what we did. We're going to act like we did. We're going to pursue some of the same thuggish tactics that we've been using all along, but we will now use the moral credentials of anti-fascism so we can get away with it. We'll act like we're fighting Hitler in the 1930s, and that's how they act with Trump. Trump is supposed to be the new Hitler, and these guys think that any tactics are justified, whatever, in order to get rid of him.
We're talking with Dinesh D'Souza. The book is The Big Lie. And Dinesh, as you explain in the book, a small lie can be checked and fairly easily rebutted if, in fact, it's not true. A bigger lie is harder to disprove and is actually far more effective. So in addition to the lie that we've been talking about, that the American political right has fascist tendencies as opposed to the left, as you've just explained, I know there are a lot of conservatives out there who would point out what they think are big lies on specific issues in our debate today, whether it's from arguing that legalizing abortion empowers women to everything related to climate change to blaming the rich for what's wrong in society. So are there multiple big lies out there, or do they all kind of flow from the same one?
Well, there are, the big lie is a term invented by Hitler. And Hitler, many people think Hitler was using it to talk about how he himself would get away with big lies. But no, Hitler says very clearly that the big lie is perpetrated by the Jews. Now, what Hitler is doing really here is transference. And what I mean by that is he accuses the Jews of wanting world domination, whereas he, Hitler, really wanted world domination. He accuses the Jews of basically using all kinds of cunning and violence to achieve their goals. That's what Hitler was actually doing. So Hitler was taking all his own qualities and projecting them onto the Jews. And part of what my recent work has been aimed at showing is that this is exactly what the left does in America. In Hillary's America, my last book, I showed how they do it with the race card. So the Democratic Party has been the party of slavery and segregation and Jim Crow and the Klan, but somehow they blame the Republican Party for being the racist party. And similarly with fascism, it's the left that has had the actual ugly history of fascism. It's the left that was in bed with Mussolini in the 20s and Hitler in the 30s. And yet these are the guys today who turn around and say, oh, Trump, he's a fascist. Oh, the GOP, that's the party of fascism. So this is pure transference. This is the classic use of the big lie in exactly the way that Hitler used it.
So how do you fight it?
You fight it, first of all, of course, with knowledge. You have to catch the big lie and expose it. I mean, there's a poor guy, Ken Melman, the head of the Republican National Committee, who was traipsing from one black church to another, apologizing for the Republican Party's history of racism. Now, this poor fool doesn't know that the Republican Party actually has no such history. It's the party of emancipation, shutting down the Klan, fighting against segregation. But see, he had bought into the big lie. He was so dumb that he didn't actually know his own party's history. And so if you don't have the knowledge, you're not going to be able to fight back. Knowledge is the first thing that you need, but then you also need courage, and you then need action.
And one of the points you also make in the book is that the political right in America still hasn't found a vehicle to really compete with the way the left has a stranglehold on institutions like the media, Hollywood, academia, and so forth. Some might say that the talk radio for a while kind of helped fill that void. But what do you envision as a means of competing on the same playing field on that area?
Well, this is a very important point. Republicans fight in one corner of the battlefield, electoral politics, and the left is making the long march through academia, the media, the whole entertainment world, including the world of comedy and including Hollywood. Now, when Hitler first came into the Nazi Party, they asked him, what office would you like to occupy? And he goes, I want to be the head of propaganda. Why? Because Hitler said he understood that the media was, in a sense, that's the most important place to be to get to not only define who you stand for, but get your message out. One of the first things the Nazis did when they came to power was they made sure that the media, the press, the German film industry and entertainment industry were all brought into line with Nazi ideology. They called it Gleichschaltung, or coordination. Well, for the left in America today, we have political correctness, but political correctness reflects the success of the left in using its enormous power in media, in entertainment, and in Hollywood and academia to enforce its own narrow ideology.
And so what reaction have you gotten? I know the book's just been out for a week here, but I'm guessing it's fallen largely along political lines. But what type of reaction has struck you most so far?
Well, the left so far, and it's still early, has reacted, you're right, with the same stunned silence that they greeted Hillary's America. And, you know, what I'm waiting for is, look, I've been for the last several months watching all these pundits, you know, Rachel Maddow, Chris Matthews, Bill Maher, all bloviating and pontificating about how Trump is a fascist and fascism this and that. And now along comes somebody who actually knows what he's talking about. And I'm waiting to see if these people have the guts to put me on their show and actually debate whether fascism and Nazism are actually on the left or on the right. I bet you that they are too scared to do it, but we'll wait and see.
Well, we'll certainly be watching, and we look forward to checking in with you again as the debate continues. Dinesh, thank you very much for your time today. Best wishes on the book.
Thank you.
Dinesh D'Souza, best-selling author and documentary filmmaker. Again, the brand new book is The Big Lie, Exposing the Nazi Roots of the American Left. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.